The UN inspectors who searched Iraq during the 1990s found evidence that the government was making weapons of mass destruction. To make those weapons, the Iraqis needed special equipment or nuclear materials such as uranium or plutonium. They can be found on an international black market that has blossomed since the breakup of the Soviet Union. The last line of defense against nuclear smuggling consists of border guards and customs agents. Recognizing the ingredients that go into nuclear, chemical, or biological weapons isn't easy. And to learn what to look for, border agents have been coming to a special school here in the U.S. NPR's Christopher Joyce joined a group training in Richland, Washington, and has the story.
The students this month are from the Czech Republic, burly guys in shorts with black socks and sandals. They've just come back inside from their cigarette break. Trainer Richard Arthur gets right to the point.
We have two types of special nuclear materials with us. These are plutonium and uranium. This is 100 grams of weapons-grade plutonium.
Arthur is a nuclear physicist at the government's Pacific Northwest National Laboratory. The students are mostly cops, border guards, and customs agents. They watch from bleachers in a cavernous garage as Arthur strolls beside a table like a game show host. He holds up a container of weapons-grade plutonium, then some uranium, some californium, some americium.
Now what we'll do is look at the different signatures that each of the materials give off. I have the meter turned on so you can hear.
For the students and their translator, this is all strange and new.
All of these sources are sealed so that the radiation doesn't get out. But the translator still backs away.
I'm really scared.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This is a huge nuclear research center with lots of radioactive material on hand. The trainers believe in authenticity. The students finally venture forward, holding up their newly issued radiation detectors. They're called pagers, to capture a few gamma rays and neutrons of their own.
Everybody on section 6, looks like? Nod your heads, yes?
Another classroom, another teacher. Chuck Willingham is an expert on things like nuclear fuel assemblies and the arcana of reactor engineering. It's a tough class to teach after a big lunch.
If during my talk I see bald spots, see bald spot means you're sleeping like this, I may bang on the table to wake you up.
It's a lot to memorize. Zirconium fuel tubes, uranium fuel pellets, high-strength aluminum tubing. But missing these things could be as dangerous as letting uranium through. They're part of a trigger list of items used only in the nuclear industry. There are also dual-use items that are trickier to recognize.
The term dual-use means equipment and items that can be used in civilian applications, like the electronics industry, but they also have applications in the military or the weapons arena. It's very difficult as you as a border person or police or customs to open up a box, a look at this piece of equipment, and determine its ultimate use.
My name is Bill Cleff, and I'm the manager of our International Border Security Program here at the Pacific Northwest National Laboratory.
The program here is called RADACAD, for Radiation Academy. Agents from 18 countries have trained with the academy so far. Most knew nothing about nuclear energy. Some didn't even have money to buy gas or boots.
In many cases, they were given one set of boots at the start of the winter when the boots wore out. It was all over, and they didn't go outside anymore. Very, very rugged conditions on some of the borders.
These agents face a daunting task. Cliff says authorities have made about 600 seizures of smuggled nuclear material since 1991. Most are tiny amounts of industrial isotopes like strontium or cesium coming out of the former Soviet Union. These elements are no good for making a nuclear explosion, but they could make a dirty bomb to contaminate a city. And Cliff says there's also a flourishing trade in material that's simply bogus.
There's many scams out there, a thing called red mercury, osmium-187, things that have absolutely no value with regard to a weapon being purported to be, you know, weapons material. When we were in the Czech Republic, at that time there was a fellow that they had caught coming across the border that had, I think it was 6 little vials of osmium strapped to his shorts, which was basically nonsensical for the guy to do it because it has no use in a nuclear weapon.
In fact, osmium is barely radioactive at all. But for every 100 scams, there's a truly frightening incident. In 1994, Czech police seized 6.5 pounds of weapons-grade uranium in a car in Prague. Not enough to build a bomb, but a good start. A Czech nuclear engineer was shopping it around. One of the police officers who nabbed him is now in Bill Cliff's classroom. He asks that his name not be used.
I personally am afraid that trafficking in radioactive materials and smuggling has become highly sophisticated, and these people have become real professionals that are highly technically capable and therefore very difficult to hit.
The Prague incident was the largest seizure of weapons-grade material outside Russia. Russia remains the main source, but the trade may be moving south toward the Middle East. The Czech team has returned to the classroom in the garage. A green SUV is driven in and parked behind U.S. Customs Inspector Don Resendez, who explains the next exercise. It's based on a real uranium bust.
On May 29, 1999, at approximately 1,000 hours, a lone male traveler, approximately 35 years old, with Turkish citizenship, applied for authorization to leave Bulgaria.
The Turkish smuggler was stopped at the Bulgarian border. Suspicious border agents discovered he had hidden a small amount of highly enriched uranium in his car. Today, the instructors are going to recreate that event. They have hidden some uranium in the SUV, in a bicycle pump. The Czech students don't know that. They only know they're about to be tested. A lab employee will play the Turkish smuggler. Customs agent Mike Conser prepares him.
When they ask about, well, what is this pump back here? Pump? I don't know, is that my child's pump? I don't know whose pump it is.
I own a small business in Moldova, and I'm going to take it back there for repairs.
For the bicycle pump?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was in Istanbul, and I picked it up there. One of my customers had it. I sold it to him, and it doesn't work, so I'm bringing it to have it repaired.
Excellent.
The actor climbs in the car, a tall Czech with graying temples acts as the guard who's just stopped the car at the border.
Good morning. I'm here on behalf of the Czech Customs. Are you importing? Are you carrying anything that you should declare? Any merchandise?
No.
Please get out of your vehicle and we will look what's in there.
It turns out the driver is carrying $1,500 in cash. That raises suspicion.
Unfortunately, sir, we will have to detain you and your money because you haven't declared that you're carrying this amount.
My tire is leaking. I hit a board with a nail and it's leaking. And I have to get to the next station before it goes flat. I have to go.
Students search under the seats, the glove compartment, behind the tires. They find nothing. Resendez keeps after them.
Is there anything else in the car that is suspicious or anything that you might have seen?
The students pull out their radiation detectors. They beep, but readings are too low to locate a source. Conser watches as they swarm over the car, but ignore the driver.
I think they're anticipating something magic to go off or something to bring it all together. The source of the information is standing right here, and you notice no one's talking to him. He has the information.
Ask him why he doesn't use the air pump.
I want to go to the next station and have them change it. I don't want to change it.
The Czech students finally pull out the pump and yank it apart. They find a small lead cylinder.
Have
you got anything?
Yeah, they got it.
Oh, they got it.
They got it.
Okay.
They're going to check it.
Did you break my pump? You better fix it.
Tady se ptáme my. Tady se ptáme my. Vy budete odpovídat, až my řekneme, že máte mluvit.
And you keep silent unless I ask you something. Do you get me?
The guards lead the suspect away and confiscate what they now presume to be smuggled uranium from inside the pump. They say they'll have it tested by professionals.
That's it. Thank you very much. It's exactly what we wanted to hear. Thank you, sir.
As in the real case in Bulgaria, the uranium was shielded, so the pagers didn't help very much. Conser reminds the Czechs not to rely too much on technology, to focus on the car and its driver for clues. The students move outside for a break. It's 110 degrees. Customs officer Jan Stalitsky finds a spot in the shade. He says Europe is a hard place to screen auto traffic. It comes from everywhere.
What was different was the kind of traffic that was coming in. Trucks from a former Soviet Union, from Turkey. You have to be very quick.
American technology is helping. Large gates called portals are being set up at busy transit sites to detect radiation. But they won't help with biological weapons. These have become more of a concern since the anthrax attacks in the U.S. So the trainers here in Richland have added a biological scenario to their curriculum. U.S. Customs agent Mike Conser leads the checks to a row of tractor trailers parked outside the garage. They're supposed to inspect them for contraband. One trailer has a surprise in it.
We have built a false wall into it. There's an actual mannequin behind the false wall that supposedly was an illegal that is contaminated with smallpox. So as they work themselves into the container, the closer they get to the pox, the worse off they're going to be.
It doesn't take long to discover the fake wall. The students pry back the plywood. They find the mannequin behind the wall. It has spots painted on it. The trainers explain that it's a man infected with smallpox and that those who came closest to it will soon get sick and may die. The point is, expect anything, especially the worst. The students take their impending death in good humor. It's only practice. Soon, though, they'll be back at their border stations and airports and train stations, and that won't be practice. The illegal nuclear trade appears to be on the rise. In the past 4 years, smugglers were caught with uranium stolen from the former Soviet Georgia, Kyrgyzstan, and the Democratic Republic of Congo. The biggest haul was in Russia, where authorities caught nuclear workers planning to steal over 40 pounds of weapons-grade uranium, almost enough to make a bomb. Christopher Joyce, NPR News, Richland, Washington.
And for more information, web links, and photographs from the Department of Energy's Radiation Academy, you can visit our website at npr.org.